But I'm going to begin, if you'll open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 15, I'm going to begin with the with God sealing the Abrahamic covenant, the covenant that he made to Abraham. It was the promise that he made to Abraham. And remember, it was because Abraham believed that promise. He believed in the Lord. He put his confidence in the Lord. He put his weight upon the Lord, that God declared him to be righteous. But I want us to zero in. Look in verse 6. This is Genesis 15, verse 6. It says, "And he," this is Abraham, "believed in the Lord," Yahweh, "the great I am. And he," Yahweh, "accounted it to him for righteousness." Now, before we look at verse 7, over 700,000 words in the Bible. Catch that, 700,000 words in this book. So, in fact, it's not really the Word of God. It's the words of God. And every word matters. Would you agree? Every word is put there by God's design. Even the little words have great meaning. And we're going to see that in just a moment as we read this text. That little word, "it," has great meaning. Verse 7 says, "And he," that's God, "said to him," Abraham, "I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans, to give you this land to inherit it." To give you this land to inherit it. So the "it" refers to the land, right? "And he said," now this is Abraham, or Abram at this point, "Lord God, how shall I know I will inherit," there it is again, "it." So "it" refers to the land. Is that not right? So, and that's when he came down to the point, you know, take these animals and cut them in two. And then God himself walked between the sacrifices, sealing the deal. But the promise was connected to the land. Here's the point. No land, no promise. If you're going to get the promise, it comes with the land. That's how important that is. Now flip over to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 23. Dr. Cameron used to say often when he was around me, he said, "Dick Hill, if you ever get lost in the weeds concerning the nation of Israel, watch Israel. And if you ever get lost in the weeds concerning history, and the history of this world, watch Israel." Now, Dr. Cameron, many of you in this room knew him and you loved him. And he loved Israel. Yes. He loved the Jews. And his ministry was to the Jews. He always said, "I've got a Jewish stomach." He loved Jewish food. But he loved passionately the Jews and Israel. That's why his ministry was to the Jews. Now, look in verse 5. Of Jeremiah 23, look in verse 5. Now I'm going to look at a lot of passages today, but I want us to focus in on the little words. We're going to get down into the minutiae of the text, because it's my belief that the life-changing truth sometimes is found in the word, in the little words. In those little words that we have a tendency sometimes to read right over. I do. And God has to call me back down into the minutia of the text and get in there and find out what's going on. And I was telling someone earlier, Paul says, while we look in a glass dimly, I mean, we're not going to ever see everything that's here. And we're not going to ever know everything we want to know about the Word of God. And that's the basis for why I call this ministry Glimpses of Grace, because that's many times all that God gives us is just a little glimpse. And that's all I'm going to give you this morning and also this afternoon. Look in verse 5. Jeremiah. He says, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will raise to David a branch of righteousness. A king shall reign and prosper and execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell safely. Now this is his name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness, Yahweh Tsidkenu." Verse 7. "Therefore, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that they," that's the Jews, "shall no longer say, as the Lord lives who brought up the children of Israel from the land of Egypt, but as the Lord lives who brought up and led the descendants of the house of Israel from the north country and from all the countries where I had driven them, and they shall dwell safely," where? "In their own land." Now circle that or underline that or underscore that. There's no nation on the planet that's been hated like the Jews. And I think anti-Semitism is not the right word, because there's a lot of people who are members of the Semitic race. It's really anti-Jews. The hatred is for Israel. The hatred is for the Jews. Now, my question this morning in both sessions is this: is there any hope for Israel? Is there any hope for national Israel? Now, I'm not talking about the church. I'm not talking about the bride of Christ. But is there any hope, any future hope at all for God's chosen people, the Jews? That's the question I want to ask and I want to answer. And what I want you to do, as our gift to you, we're going to give you a copy of this. Every couple is going to receive a copy. And if we have enough, I'll give every one of you one, but we'll see how that goes. But I want to read out of this book an illustration. Now, in my view, this illustration is worth the price of the book. That's how powerful this illustration is. And especially on this Abrahamic covenant. And has God forgotten his covenant to Abraham? Has he forgotten his promise of the land? That's what I want us to understand. Bow with me in prayer. Father, take once again the bumbling, stumbling words of my mouth. And through your Holy Spirit, Father, do some amazing things. Place on display my weakness, my frailty, but your power and your amazing grace. And Father, would you reveal to us your magnificent, unchanging love for Israel. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to read this to you, and I want you to listen to this. This is a quote from David Barron, and it's written in one of his books on biblical prophecy concerning Israel. Now listen carefully. Barron spoke of a river in the ocean. He said that in the severest droughts, it never fails. And in the mightiest floods, it never overflows. The Gulf of Mexico is its fountain, and its mouth is somewhere in the Arctic seas. It is the Gulf Stream. There is no flow of water like it in the world. Its current moves faster than the Mississippi or the Amazon, and its volume of water is more than 1,000 times greater. Its waters are the color of an indigo blue. This blue can be clearly distinguished at its junction with the common seawater. Often one half of a vessel may be observed as floating in the Gulf Stream water, while the other half is in the common water of the sea. There is a visible distinction between the Gulf Stream and the common seawater. This curious phenomenon in the physical world has its counterpart in life. By contrast, there is a lonely river in the midst of the ocean of humankind. The mightiest floods of human temptation have never caused it to overflow, and the fiercest fires of human cruelty, though seven times heated, have never caused it to dry up. Its fountain is in the gray dawn of the world's history of the promise to Abraham, and its mouth is somewhere in the shadows of eternity. It too refuses to mingle with the surrounding waves. The line that divides its restless billows from the common waters of humanity is also plainly visible to the eye. It is the Jewish race. Dr. Johnson went on to recall Barron's words with this amazing illustration. If one was traveling on a boat in the ocean and reached down into the Gulf Stream and picked up a handful of water and threw it into common seawater, it would immediately be absorbed into the sea, losing its identity. But what if it was not absorbed? What if it continued to stand out? This is what's happened to Israel. They have been a mere handful of people scattered on the great ocean of humanity. But instead of being absorbed into other people groups, as we should have expected, judging from a knowledge as to what has happened to other nations of people, the Jews, after being in such a condition for thousands of years, continue to exist as a separate nation, as a separate people. Wow. Open your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy chapter 5. Linda and I have just purchased a couple of a washer and a dryer, LG washer, LG dryer, and we were negotiating a price, and after we finally negotiated the price, the sales lady said, if I were you, I would get the warranty. And she was very sincere in that. Now, I know about selling warranties to people. I know, you know, I don't usually say, I don't want to do that. It's going to add a lot of money on to the bottom line, and we don't have a lot of money. But she said, she looked at me, she said, you really need to do this. And she explained how many plastic parts are found in those new washers and dryers. And she said, believe me, you're going to need this warranty. So Linda and I shelled out the cash, and we bought the warranty. Now here's what I'm going to tell you this morning. This is going to be the basis for everything I say. God has extended to Israel his warranty to fulfill the Abrahamic covenant. He has done that. Now this extension in the Word of God is located in the fine print. That's why I say you got to get down into the minutia of the text. And you say, what motivates you to write your books, Dick Hill? God motivates me to get down into the minutia of the text. That's the reason right there. I look at the words, and I truly believe that every word matters, and every word's in there by God's design. So I get down into the text, and I wrestle with the text. I found out the meaning of the words, and in context, what's going on here, and I work hard to do that. And I want to put it down in writing in ways that people can understand. That's why I write. But look in Deuteronomy 5. Now look in verse 2. Let's read this carefully. Now, this is one of those messages that I kind of hate to preach because it's so hard to follow. It's just difficult to follow. It's one of those, I'm reminded again, I hate to keep bringing him up, But I remember Dr. Cameron waxing eloquent about Israel and their future and prophecy, and he'd be standing up in front, and if you've ever heard that booming voice, I know Shepherd and Billy have heard it many times, and he just booms out those beautiful words, and I was sitting out there in awe of the way he said it, but I didn't have a clue what he was saying. But he knew what he was saying, and he convinced me that he knew what he was saying. And the older I've gotten into some of those things, and he really knew what he was saying. He knew what he was talking about. Look in verse 2. The Lord our God made a covenant with us in Horeb. Do you see that? I don't know. I'm using a new King James Version. Whatever standard or whatever version you're using, I think you can follow me. The Lord our God made a covenant. He's talking about the Abrahamic covenant here. Now, Horeb is another word for Sinai. Horeb is another word for Sinai. So this is where God gave Israel the Ten Commandments. Now watch. The Lord did not make this covenant with our fathers, but with us, those who are here today, all of us who are alive. The Lord talked with you face to face on the mountain from the midst of the fire. You remember that? And if you read on down, he goes into the Ten Commandments. And this is where God gave to Moses the Ten Commandments. And before he ever got back to the people with the law in his hands, they had already broken the law. And you remember that. But what I want you to see here is that God gave them an extended warranty. Look over in Deuteronomy 29. Now follow this. It's kind of a difficult thing to follow, but follow me. Now we just looked at the covenant given by God to Israel in the mountain, Mount Sinai, called here Horeb, but it's Sinai. Another word for Sinai. Now in Deuteronomy 29, you follow as I read. I hope it jumps out at you like it did me. These are the words of the covenant, now watch this, which the Lord commanded Moses to make with the children of Israel in the land of Moab. Now watch this, here's the words. Besides the covenant, mark that. Besides the covenant. Translation, this is a different covenant. Do you see that? Besides the covenant which he made with them at Sinai. Look up here. This one's different. It's not the same. And it's in this covenant that God gave to the Jews that extended warranty. Throughout history, he's given this extended warranty into the future to fulfill his word to the Jews. Now let's look in verse 2. And Moses called all Israel and said to them, you have seen all that the Lord did before your eyes in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh and all, to all his servants and to all his land, the great trials which your eyes have seen, the signs and those great wonders. Yet the Lord has not given you a heart to perceive and eyes to see or ears to hear to this very day. You haven't seen it yet. And I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes have not worn out on you, and your sandals have not worn out on your feet. You have not eaten bread, nor have drunk wine or similar drink, that you may know that the Lord, that I am the Lord your God. And when you came to this place, Sihon, king of Heshbon, and Og, the king of Bashan, came out against us to battle, and we conquered them. We took their land and gave it as an inheritance to the Reubenites and the Gadites and half of the tribe of Manasseh. Therefore, keep the words of this covenant and do them, that you may prosper in all that you do. All of you stand today before the Lord your God, your leaders and your tribes and your elders and your officers, all the men of Israel. Now, we're talking about here, watch this, look up here. We're talking about here the Palestinian covenant. That's the word that many of the old Bible teachers put on this. This new covenant attached to the old Abrahamic covenant that gave them a little warranty, an extended warranty. And then he says, verse 11, your little ones, your wives, also the strangers who is in your camp, from the one who cuts your wood to the one who draws your water, that you may enter into a covenant with the Lord your God into his oath, which the Lord your God makes with you today, that he may establish you today as a people for himself, and that he may be God to you, just as he has spoken to you, and just as he has sworn to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob, I make this covenant and this oath, not with you alone. Look at that. Now remember back when we gave the Abrahamic covenant, it was to us and to our children. And we wandered around for 40 years before we were able to go into the land. But it says here, but with him who stands here with us today before the Lord our God. Now watch this, mark this. As well as with him who is not here with us today. Translation, all of Abraham's children. All of Abraham's children throughout history. Now, we believe, and I believe, that Israel today is under what we call the fifth cycle of discipline. And that fifth cycle of discipline was initiated in 70 AD. When God dispersed Israel, watch this, all over the world. He destroyed Jerusalem, and they scattered throughout the earth. And from that time, there has been no king, no temple. But is God finished with them? Is he through? No, not because he's not through because of this extended warranty. And I want to look back at Leviticus quickly. And I'm not going to try to read all this because I would be here a lot longer than I want to be. But in Leviticus chapter 26, God tells Israel when they came back in the land, if you will keep my word, do what I want you to do, obey my law, do my will, then I'm going to bless you, I'm going to bless you, I'm going to bless you, I'm going to bless you. But in verse 14, he said, but, that's a little word, note those contrasts, but, circle it, this is Leviticus 26, 14, but, if you do not obey me and do not observe all the commandments. And then he goes on down. He said, first I'm going to strike you with disease. And this disease is going to be used by me to motivate you to get back in fellowship with me. To come back to me. To repent. And come back to me. A wasting disease. And if that doesn't change you, over in verse 18 and following, he said, look down in verse 19. I will break the pride of your power. I love this next line. I will make your heavens like iron and your earth like bronze. I love the voice of the prophets, don't you? That means I'm going to stop the rain. There's going to be drought in the land. You're not going to get the rain. You're not going to be able to grow your food. There's going to be drought. Now, down in verse 21, then if you walk contrary to me, you continue to rebel. You continue to be hard-headed, hard-hearted, and you're not willing to obey me. Verse 21, I will bring on you seven times more plagues. According to your sins, I'm going to send wild beasts in among you. They're going to rob you of your children, destroy your livestock, and make you few in number. And your highway shall be desolate. And then the idea there is going to be death. So we have the idea of disease and drought and death. Now these are all being used by God to motivate Israel to come back into fellowship with him. Down in verse 24. In verse 23, and if by these you are not reformed by me, but walk contrary to me, then I will also walk contrary to you. And I will punish you yet seven times for your sins. And I will bring the sword against you and will execute vengeance of the covenant. When you are gathered together within your cities, I will send pestilence upon you, and you shall be delivered into the hand of your enemy. I call this destruction from the enemies. And then over in verse 27, and after all this, if you do not obey me but walk contrary to me, devastation and dispersion. Look at that in verse 33. Now I'm going to have to speed this up. Verse 33. I will scatter you. Verse 33. I will scatter you among the nations and draw out a sword after you. Your land shall be desolate and your cities waste. Now look up in verse 38. Or over in verse 38. Whichever way you have to go. Verse 38. You shall perish among the nations, and the land of your enemies shall eat you up. I think about Hitler and the Holocaust. The land of your enemies shall eat you up. Now turn to Deuteronomy 30. Like I said, this is going to be difficult, hard to follow. Let me read this passage. A lot of Bible reading. Deuteronomy 30, verse 1. Let's read the text. Now it shall come to pass when all these things come upon you. Now that's those the cycles of discipline that we just mentioned. When you see these cycles of discipline hitting you, boom, 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 all these things come upon you. The blessing and the curse which I have set before you. Now look at this. And you call them to mind among the nations. Underline that. Here's the point.
Where are you at, Deuteronomy?
Deuteronomy 30. Deuteronomy 30. Look in verse. We're in verse 1 of Deuteronomy 30. And you call them to mind among the nations. God's going to move in such a way that Israel will call them to mind. Where the Lord God drives you from there. Look in verse 2. And you return to the Lord your God and obey His voice according to all that I command you today, you and your children, with all your heart and with all your soul, that the Lord your God will bring you back from captivity and have compassion on you and gather you again from all the nations where the Lord God has scattered you. That's where they are now. Let's just go ahead and jump to verse 10. If you obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep His commandments and His statutes which are written in the book of the law, and if you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and soul. Now flip over to Deuteronomy chapter 4. We're about to wind this thing down. Deuteronomy chapter 4. And look up here, and this is what I've said. I think a good teacher goes back and reviews what he said, but God gave Israel an extended warranty with what is called the Palestinian Covenant. Now, I for one think the Palestinian Covenant is attached to the land. It's attached to the land. That's the important thing. Now, Israel today as a nation, they're scattered throughout the world. There are Jews all over the planet. There are Jews in Poland, they're Polish Jews. They're Jews in Germany. They're German Jews. They're Jews all in Europe, but these are still Jews. They're Jews here in America. And many of those Jews even know from what tribe they came. They know it. They know who they are. That's why I think Ken asked earlier, is there a Jew in the group here? But they're all over the world. But they're operating according to what I'm going to put in this book here for you to read. They're operating under the Palestinian covenant. That extended covenant, that extended warranty from the Abrahamic covenant. God gave them an extension. He knew what was about to come. Now look in verse 25, Deuteronomy chapter 4. Look at this. When you beget children and grandchildren and have grown old in the land and act corruptly and make a carved image in the form of anything and do evil in the sight of the Lord your God to provoke him to anger, I will call heaven and earth to witness against you this day that you will soon utterly perish from the land which you cross over the Jordan to possess. You will not prolong your days in it, but will be utterly destroyed. And the Lord will scatter you among the nations. You don't have to mark it. It's in the book. All of this is going to be in the book that I'm going to give you. And you will be few in number among the nations where the Lord will drive you. And there you will serve gods in the work of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see nor hear nor smell. Now here's the whole point of the message. Look in verse 29. And this shouts, and I want to shout it. It says, but from there. Now where is from there? All over the world. It's from Poland, it's from Germany, it's from Asia Minor, it's from South America, it's from all over the world, but from there. Now notice this, you will seek, I love that, you will seek the Lord your God and you will find Him if you seek Him with all your heart and with all your soul. When you are in distress and all these things come upon you, in the latter days, when, that's a time word, you turn to the Lord your God and obey His voice. For the Lord your God is merciful. He will not forsake you, nor destroy you, nor forget the covenant of your fathers which He swore to them. That's Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. It ties it to them. He will not forget. Wow. Now look in Jeremiah, one more passage. Jeremiah. This is one of my... I put a section in the book called The Prophets Speak. The Prophets Speak. I think I want Jeremiah chapter 30. Yeah, Jeremiah chapter 30. Again, let me go back and say this. There's a place in this book maybe that says the prophets speak. And it's in the voice of those prophets that you're going to see this over and over again. But look in chapter 30, Jeremiah. Let's read this. This is only one of those prophets. I'd be here all day. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah from the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, now watch this, thus speaks the Lord God of Israel saying, write in a book for yourself all the words that I've spoken to you. Now watch. For behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that, now underline or circle, I will. You see that? I will bring back from captivity my people Israel and Judah, says the Lord. And, circle it again, I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it. Now these are the words that the Lord spoke concerning Israel and Judah. But thus says the Lord, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Ask now and see whether a man is ever in labor with child. So why do we see every man with his hands on his loins? I think this is a reference to the tribulation period. We're going to talk about the tribulation period in the next session and how what God is going to use to pressure the Jews and ultimately to purge Israel and to punish those nations that have come against Israel. But he's going to refine them as gold. But we're going to see that later. Why do I see every man hands with his hands on his loins like a woman in labor and all faces turned pale? Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is the time, I love this, of Jacob's trouble. It doesn't say the church's trouble. Aren't you glad? It's Jacob's trouble. It's Israel's trouble. But he shall be saved out of it. Please underscore that section. I'm going to read the rest of this, and then I'm going to be through. One more passage, and I'll be through. Wait a minute, Hill, you're a Baptist preacher. That means you're only getting started. Not really. For it shall come to pass that in that day, says the Lord of hosts, that I will break his yoke from your neck, and I will burst your bonds. Foreigners shall no more enslave them, but they shall serve the Lord their God, and David their king, whom I shall raise up to them. Verse 10, therefore do not fear, O my servant Jacob. That's Israel. That's the Jews, says the Lord. Nor be dismayed, O Israel. For behold, I will save you from afar. Who said that? God said that. And your seed from the land of their captivity. Jacob shall return, have rest. I love this too. And be quiet. And no one shall make him afraid. For I am with you, says the Lord, to save you. Though I make a full end of all nations where I have scattered you. And we're going to see next session that one of the reasons for the second coming of Christ is to purge Israel and punish those nations that have come against Israel. Yet, now notice, continue in verse 11, yet I will not make a complete end of you, but I will correct you in justice and will not let you go altogether unpunished. Now he's going to spank them. He's going to punish them. But he's going to purge them and purify them and get them ready for the kingdom. And at that point, they're going to be at the head of the table, not at the foot of the table. Because God is a covenant-keeping God. He keeps His word. He keeps His word to Abraham. He keeps His word to David. And He extended warranty, Palestinian covenant. He gave them that extended warranty. And they're still under the operation of the Palestinian covenant today. And that's all over the world. God's going to bring them back. One other passage and I'm through. Look back in Leviticus. Leviticus 26. I said, beginning this message, that it's all about the land. It's all about the land. Now, look up here just a minute. Is this difficult stuff or what? Shake your head. Difficult stuff, isn't it? And you know what? That's why everybody doesn't get it right away. That's why we go over it and over it. That's why Dr. Cameron, he went over it and over it and over it. In fact, it was years later as I studied this that I said, Doc, you were right. And now I understand what you were saying when you were standing up in front of all those people and teaching. You were right. God has never given up on the Jews. And He's going to fulfill His covenant with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. He's a faithful God. He doesn't go back on His word. And look up here and listen to me. There's some good and godly people who believe in a ministry or a teaching called replacement theology. That the church has now become spiritual Israel. And God really doesn't have a future for Israel. But He does. He's never gone back on that. That came from man, not from God. Look in verse 40 of Leviticus chapter 26. Am I way past my time? Charlie, you would say no anyway. What's that?
It's your show.
Okay, that's right. It's your show. Well, this is where I'm going to wind it down. Because this is in the book. Isn't that good? You can go back and clarify all my words in here because I've tried to work hard. Linda and I both have worked hard to make it understandable. Verse 40. But if they will confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers with their unfaithfulness in which they were unfaithful to me, and that they will also walk, and they also have walked contrary to me, and that I also have walked contrary to them, and have brought them into the land of their enemies. And if their uncircumcised hearts are humbled, and they accept their guilt, look at this, then I will remember my covenant with Jacob, and my covenant with Isaac, and my covenant with Abraham, and I will remember the land. Isn't that great? Sometimes those little words shout to me and they bring tears to my eyes. I will remember the land. I think the most important real estate on the planet is that little nation of Israel.
Is that a third class
additional farm? I have no idea at this point, son. It might be. That's a good question. This is all found in a portion of this little book that I just finished. And there's going to be some, and I told Linda I would say something about the book. There's going to be some controversial sections in this book. By the very nature of who I am. I'm kind of an in-your-face writer and teacher. And there's going to be some controversy. I have to take some positions that other people do not hold. And I even take some positions that the seminary that I attended at this point does not hold. But that doesn't mean that I'm wrong. Doesn't mean that they're wrong. And this is all just a position that I hold. And I told our board yesterday, now the 13 letters of Paul, Ken, that's not negotiable. Those are magnificent. And I spent my life in the study of Paul, in the Pauline theology. That's where I live, and I breathe that. And I teach that. And I love grace, and I love the gospel. But prophecy, I don't develop fellowship with people over the rapture, when the rapture is going to occur. Now I hold a position, and Charles, that's going to go in Revelation, and I'm trying to make it readable. It's an amazing book. It calls itself The Unveiling. That is, it says it's clear and it's understandable. And I'm thinking, well, why do so many people confused if it's so clear and understandable? But I'm going to try to put it in plain common sense words so people can read it and understand. I'm working on Revelation right now. And that's my passion, to get to that office and get back into that book and make some sense out of it. So when you read the book, it has a meaning to you. But now I'm going to give you, after I close in prayer, I'm going to pass out a copy of this, and I'm going to have John come up and do his thing, because they're wanting to get to their baby girl. She's been on the other side of the world or a long way away, and I know her. She's just like you, and I know how she. And that those conditions are tough for that baby girl, and I know you're ready to put your arms around her and hold her, because I'm right there with you. I'm right there with you. But as soon as I say amen, John's going to come dedicate this book, and then we're going to give everybody in this room, hopefully, a copy, or at least one per couple. I think we have enough for one per couple. But let me close in a word of prayer. Father, thank you for your word, and thank you for teaching us, Father, that your truth is found sometimes in those little words, those little phrases. Those phrases like, but from there, if you will repent and turn to me. Those little words like, another covenant beside the one I gave at Sinai. And Father, you gave Israel that extended warranty. That warranty takes in consideration all these thousands of years and all these Jews all over the world, and it even takes into consideration the intermarriage that's taken place and where the Jews have blended in. It takes all that into consideration. But Father, ultimately, we refer to Romans 11. Ultimately, all Israel shall be saved. And a nation is going to be born again in a day. And Father, we praise and thank you for your faithfulness, realizing that since you have been faithful to Israel, you will be faithful to us. In Jesus' name, amen.